Amen. That's a beautiful song, and appreciate that. The message, I'm telling you what, that's hard to follow that, but I will. All right. So. Amen. Nothing ever can overcome the Lord our God. Amen. I'm telling you, we serve not a awesome God, we serve the awesome God. The God, right? It's not a God, he's the God. And man, I'm telling you, what a privilege it is to serve him. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And again, don't forget our missions conference coming up as well. If you'd like to check out some of the needs that some of the missionaries have, I know a lot of those are getting filled up. There's still a few open spots there if you'd like to be a blessing to the missionaries when they come. I do want to say I appreciate those that filled in for us while we were gone this past week. I know Brother Dennis took care of the Sunday school hour, and Pastor Joel was preaching Wednesday and Sunday, and then a couple of the college students preached on Sunday night, and that was a blessing. Amen. If you didn't get a chance to hear those messages, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them. Brother Joel's and the college students, man, they just did a great job, and that was great to see. Brother Max, that was his first time preaching. I told him, I said, Brother Max, I'm so sorry I'm not there the first time you're able to preach, but I said, I will be watching, and that was great to see Brother Max and Matthew, and so just continue praying for our young people at college. It was great that they're able to come back for a weekend and serve, and that's what they came back to do. They came back to serve. They wanted to come back and serve in the ministry this weekend and this past weekend, and so very thankful for that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read together again this morning from verse number 1 down to verse number 8. And so as I read it, you read it with me. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. But let's read these 8 verses together as we begin this morning. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning, and Lord, just to lift up your name. Lord, just to think about how good you have been, and Lord, that there is nothing that can ever take place in our life or in this world that can overcome you. Lord, we know that when we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's no way that that can ever be undone. And so, Father, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you this morning together as a body of believers. And I pray that even through the message now, you'd use it to speak to our hearts, Lord, as only you can. Lord, just bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we began looking at this passage just 2 weeks ago, and this is the last chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, but this is also the last words of the Apostle Paul that we have. The book of 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote that we have. Obviously, as we just read there down in verse number 7 and 8, Paul says, you know, I know my departure's at hand. Paul knew that he was about to be martyred. He was about to be put to death for the cause of Christ. And so the last words of a person are of great significance. They're important to those who love them and care for them. And so, as we saw, the last words are like a window into the heart of someone. What do they really care about? Some people's last words are full of regret, some full of memories, some of anger, some fear, some of hope. But in this chapter, as we look at Paul's final words, we look into his heart. We don't see any expression of regret, even knowing that he's about to be put to death. There's no regret in his life for what he's done. There's no anger. There's not even any fear. You know, if I knew that I was about to die, I don't know if I would be able to have that attitude. But no fear. He's like, I'm ready for this, right? Instead, what we find, though, is a charge, a challenge that he gives, right? There is a solemn responsibility that Paul is calling Timothy to. And we saw a couple weeks ago why this responsibility is so important there in verse number 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. And so we looked at the importance of this because Paul is saying, look, Jesus Christ is the final judge. And one day every one of us is going to stand before him one way or the other. We will either stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer in Christ, or we will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment, as an unbeliever. And so every person is going to stand before him. He is the final judge. And he talks about the quick and the dead, right? Those who have been quickened or made alive through what Jesus Christ has done, or those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. And so he talks about this final judgment that is going to come, and that's why this charge is such a great responsibility, because we have to understand there's going to come a time when we stand before Jesus Christ, and we will have to give an account of what we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice this morning, notice the charge, and here's the charge that he gives to Timothy here. And the charge really is in verse number 2, and the charge is really at the beginning of the verse. He says, preach the word. Now, there's several things that we're going to look at here in verse number 2, but the charge that he gives is to preach the word. Preach the word. This is what he's telling Timothy, preach the word. Now, the word preach means to proclaim like a herald, right? Anybody ever sung the Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, right? What were they doing? They were heralding, right? There was a message that they were given, and they're heralding it out, right? They gave the message, okay? Rulers and kings during Paul's day would have a special herald that was to go before and to make their announcements. Whatever the king wanted the people to know, he would tell the heralds, and the heralds would go out, and they would go out throughout the cities and the areas, and they would announce in a loud, clear voice so that everyone could hear what the message was from the king or from the ruler. He was a messenger with a message to give out. It was not his own message he was to give out. It was the message that the ruler or the king instructed them to give. The herald was not there to debate. He was not there to discuss the message. He's not there to argue the pros and cons of the message. He's just there simply to give the message of the one who has sent him. He's there to proclaim it and call all of those who are listening to obedience, saying, look, this is what the king said. This is what the ruler has said. This is the message that he has said, and now the response is upon the people whether they will obey the message or not. And so this is why he says we are to preach the word, right? He says, preach the word. We're not to preach our opinions or ideas. We're not to preach what we think grandma said or what a denomination says. No, he doesn't say preach the church. He doesn't say preach a denomination. He says preach what? The word. There's the charge. Preach the word. What word are we talking about? This word right here. This word. He says preach the word. He's just talked about that. The scripture that he's just spoke about back in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He says, what we need to preach is what we find in scripture. We need to find out what the Bible says, what God has said, and we preach the word of God. So Paul is telling Timothy that he is to herald God's word with authority. Just like a herald would speak with the authority of the ruler or king that he represented. Paul is saying, Timothy, I charge thee. This is the charge that I'm giving to thee. Preach the word. Now, I'm going to say this morning's message is a little bit different because it is directed at a specific individual. It's directed at the preacher. Oh, yeah, that's me. So this message is really directed to me as a preacher, as a pastor. And we're going to say, well, then why do you have a message about this? Well, because as a church, you need to understand the responsibility of the preacher. You need to understand what God expects of the preacher. Because so many times we're in churches and we don't really understand what God expects of the preacher. And that's our responsibility as believers in the church to know the responsibility of the preacher and to make sure that he is preaching the word. Now, I can study it and I can find out about it and I can bring it, but it's your responsibility as the church, as believers, to make sure what I'm preaching is the word of God. That's your responsibility. Now, I will say this, right? In verse number 3 and 4, I'm going to get to you. But that's not going to be till next week, all right? So don't not show up next week, okay? Because next week is specifically for you. Now, today is going to be applicable as well, but next week is specifically for the listeners, those who are listening to the word being preached, right? So I know you're like, all right, so next week it's going to be for me. Next week I'm definitely going on vacation or somewhere like that, all right? No. Make sure you're here, all right? Because you need to understand the responsibility that God has for you too, right? So he says, preach the word. So Paul is telling Timothy, preach the word. Obviously, when we think about this, we're dealing specifically with the message of salvation. The message of salvation. Preaching is God's method to get the gospel out. You understand that? Preaching is God's method to get the gospel out. He says in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? We're to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18 and 21, Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice, God tells us it is the preaching of the word of God that helps people understand their need of salvation. The word of God, it's not preaching opinions, it's not preaching ideas. It is the word of God that helps people understand that they need to be saved. It's God's word. That's why he says the word of God is to be preached. Preach the word. The message of salvation, may I say this morning, is not up for debate. It's not up for your opinion. It's not up for my opinion. You see, again, as the messenger, as the herald would go, he is simply to preach what the ruler or the king has said to preach. That's what he's supposed to do. He's not there to debate it. He's not there to give his own opinion. He is simply to give what the king or the ruler has said to give, period. Friend, can I tell you that the message of salvation is not up for your opinion. It's not up for my opinion. It's not up for debate. We're not going to sit and debate whether this is the right way or the wrong way. No. The message of salvation, this is what God said, and it is what we are to preach. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's exactly what he meant. He didn't mean I'm just one of a different type of way. No, he said there's one way. That's through Jesus Christ. When the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, there's no debate. It's not up for debate. You can say, well, but, you know, my religion or my denomination or grandma said this or my... Look, friend, it's not up for debate. It is exactly what God said, period. You don't debate it. You don't have an opinion on it. I don't have an opinion on it. It's what God said. That's it. Now, friend, I can tell you this. I can tell you what the message is, but that doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Now, before you start letting your mind wander, let me just say this. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't change it. Just because you don't agree with what God says doesn't change the fact that God said it, and that's how it is. That's it, period. You say, well, what about this religion over here? What about this religion? It's not about religion, friend. What did God say in his word? That's it. For by grace are you saved through faith. that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You try to add anything to what God said, you are trying to put your opinion into what God said is already, it's already final. And we're not to do that. It's period. It's enough. He says, period. There's no debate to it. This is why he says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Didn't say join a church. Didn't say do good works. He says repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, that's Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You understand? God said there's one way, and that is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's it, period. There is no other way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ. When you go to Acts chapter 17, you'll find that even after they preached this, there were some that mocked. You know, friend, there are people that still mock what God says today. There are some that procrastinated. There were some that said, well, we're not really sure about this or not. You know, we're gonna have to find out a little bit more. And there were some that just absolutely refused to believe, but there were some that believed. There were some that believed. You understand the severity of what he's talking about here. That's why he begins in verse number 1 talking about how that we are going to stand before the final judge one day. You're not going to stand before mom and dad. You're not going to stand before grandma and grandpa. You're not going to stand before a pastor. You're not going to stand before a church or denomination. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ and him alone. Alone. No one else. And if you have rejected Jesus Christ, friend, then God says that there is one place that you will go, and it's called the lake of fire. But do you understand, friend, that he does not want you to go there? He does not want you to go to the lake of fire. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he tells us to preach the gospel so that people can believe on him so that they can be saved. He says, preach the word. We're going to get a little bit more into what the message other than salvation is going to be in a moment. But Paul says that necessity is laid upon him to preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm thankful that God called me to preach. I did not want to be a preacher. That was not my idea. But I believe God called me to preach. And it doesn't matter when it is. It doesn't matter if it's the young people standing up here preaching or if we have a guest preacher come in and preach. I'm very thankful for the young people being able to get up here tonight and they're going to preach. And last Sunday, some young men were able to preach. But it doesn't matter who it is. I want to be preaching. I'm very thankful, but that's what God's called me to do. He's called me to preach. And I want to be the one up there preaching, not because I think that I'm better, not because I think I can say it better. No, that's just what God's called me to do. I want to preach. I'm thankful for the opportunity I had to go out last week in Oklahoma. And, you know, I was able to preach 8 different times out there in a missions conference. They about killed me, but I did it, right? Man, it was great. I got to preach to young people. I got to preach in church and everything. Paul says, necessity is laid upon me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, he says. Friend, I'm talking about me as a preacher. I'm to preach the word. But can I help you to understand this morning, when he says we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he's not just talking to preachers. That's a command that is given to every one of us as Christians. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to go out and you have to preach and prepare a message or anything. No, but we are to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where we go, we are to be trying to witness and to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the good news and how he changed our life and how by faith we were able to be saved from our sin and from the punishment of sin and put our faith in Christ. That's something that every one of us ought to do. And the unfortunate thing is sometimes we don't see a necessity for it. We don't see a necessity to give out the gospel. We don't see a necessity to tell people about Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul says. He says, I have, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, this is such a serious, a solemn thing because we understand there is a day coming when we will either stand at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. And he said, I want to make sure that I have done everything I can to help people stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not at the great white throne. Because friend, if you're at the great white throne judgment, there is no more hope. Paul said, I want to do everything I can. By the way, that's why Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. He was preaching the gospel. He was saying there is no other way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ. And that's why the Jews didn't like it. Religion didn't like what he was saying. Because religion had come up with their own way. Friend, it was wrong. Why? Because Jesus said there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He says we're to preach the word. But notice the second thing we find here. We're to persevere in preaching. He says, be instant in season, out of season. In season and out of season. You know, it's interesting. Solomon says that there is a season for everything, right? He says there's a season for planting and a season for harvesting, season for joy and sadness and all of that. But there's one thing that there should never be a set season for. And that's the preaching of the Word of God. There's no set season for the preaching of the Word of God. No. He says in season and out of season. That means at any moment, at any time, we ought to be able to give the Word of God out. There's not a time when the Word shouldn't be preached. We don't just wait for convenient times to preach the Word. No. At any time, we should be able to give out the Word of God. Now, of course, there are normal times when preaching should be done, like in church and things like that, but that just shouldn't be the only times that they're done. This shouldn't just be the pastor's preaching. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter said, every one of us as Christians ought to be ready. We ought to be ready to share the gospel with somebody. We ought to be ready to tell others about Jesus Christ. We ought to be ready to be able to help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, is every person we talk to going to get saved? No, of course not. Not every person. But we should be ready. We should be ready. We should know the Word of God well enough that if we know and we're trying to share Christ with somebody, they're like, how do I get saved? What are you going to tell them? You can tell them to go to church? Go talk to the pastor? Look, I'm happy to talk to them, but friend, why aren't you ready? Why aren't you ready to share Christ with them? Why aren't you ready to tell them how to come to know in Jesus Christ as their Savior? I mean, you have a testimony. You know the Word of God. You should be able to be ready in season, out of season, to be able to give the gospel to someone. Every one of us, we have a responsibility to share Jesus Christ. And this is why he says, be instant in season and out of season. Hey, Timothy, there's going to be times, obviously, when you're supposed to preach the Word of God. Preach it. But there's going to be times that out of season that it's not maybe the normal time or whatever. Be ready to give the Word of God. Hey, that could be on your lunch break at work when you're talking to your coworker. That could be at school when you're talking to your friend or whatever. But be ready at any time to be able to share Jesus Christ with someone. Why? Because we know Jesus Christ is the only one that can change our life. Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive their sin. He's the only one that can remove their sin and give them that hope of eternal life. And so he says, be ready. Persevere in preaching. Preach the word. But what is the content? What is the message to preach? He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, if you're going to preach the word, this is the content of what needs to be in the message. This is what needs to be there. Reproof or conviction. There ought to be conviction. The word reprove there means to lead a person under conviction of sin and to lead him to confession and repentance. There's reproof. There's conviction that is there. I'm thankful when people come and as we're leading, like, Pastor, thank you for the message. Or I've heard some people say, Pastor, boy, that really stepped on my toes. And I was reminded of a story I heard one time. A lady came to the pastor and said, boy, preacher, you've been really stepping on my toes lately in your messages. And, you know, he really didn't know what to say about that. Do you say, well, good? Or do you say, What do you say? Right? I'm sorry. You don't want to say I'm sorry. And so he just kind of stood there. And he's like, well, what have you done about it? She said, well, I did the best thing that I could. She said, I got steel-toed boots. That's not the way you want to go, right? The purpose of preaching is to bring conviction. I don't know how many people have told me this before. I mean, I've been pastoring here for 12 years, and somebody will come up after the service, he'd be like, did you plant a bug in our house? Were you just listening to the conversation that we just had a week ago? I mean, because we were just having that conversation, and then you preached a message. I'm like, friend, I had no idea you had that conversation. But guess who did? God did. Holy Spirit knew, right? And as the preaching of the word is brought forth and it brings conviction, again, the herald is simply to bring the message. But the people listening, it's up to them what they do with it. I cannot bring conviction. I can't. But the Holy Spirit can. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, what do we do? Do we get like that lady? Be like, well, I'm just getting so tired of being convicted. I'm just going to get some steel-toed boots so I stop getting convicted. Can I understand? You understand what? Do you know what that means? Even though that's a story, well, I'm just going to get steel-toed boots. You know what you're saying? I'm going to make sure that my heart becomes hard. When we stop wanting to be convicted through the preaching of the Word of God, when we just want to make ourselves feel better and have the preacher preach things that just make us feel, that means our heart is becoming hard to the things of God. And friend, can I tell you, as a Christian, that should never be what you want. We should never want our hearts to be hard to the things of God. We need God to convict us because, look, let's just face it, we're not perfect. And we need the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God to help us to do what He wants us to do. And that's why he's saying this is the idea of conviction here. It's the same idea that we find in John chapter 8 and in that passage, verses 3 through 11, when the woman is taken in adultery and she's brought before Jesus. And Jesus stooped down, and as he began to write in the dust or in the dirt, he said this, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And then what happened? Each person began to walk away. The Bible says each person began to walk away from the oldest to the youngest. Why did they walk away? Because they were convicted. They were convicted at what Jesus said. He said, "He that is without sin, let him first cast a stone." And each one of them began to realize, boy, I'm not without sin. I'm not without sin. I'm not without sin. And so they each began to walk away because they all knew they were sinners. You see what happened? It brought conviction to their heart. By the way, can I tell you something? There was only one person that could have cast that first stone there that day. His name was Jesus. Aren't you thankful that he didn't? Aren't you thankful that instead he looks up to this woman and he says, "Go and sin no more"? Aren't you thankful that he had mercy and compassion on her? Because that same mercy and the compassion that he showed on her is what he shows to us. Aren't you thankful for that? Can I tell you something? That ought to bring conviction. Just think about that. He showed mercy and compassion. Are we merciful? Are we compassionate? Are we merciful to people when they do us wrong? Are we compassionate to them when they do us wrong? Or are we just gonna get what we want out of it? See, what do we need? We need conviction. We need to be convicted, and that's what he's talking about here. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world. That's what he says in John 16:8, reproving the world of sin. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's convicting of sin. By the way, do you understand that before you could ever come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit had to reprove you? The Holy Spirit had to convict you that you were a sinner. And because of your sin, you were separated from Jesus Christ. Because of your sin, you were going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And that's why you turned to Jesus Christ in faith. You see, what did the Holy Spirit do? He reproved you of sin. That's what we need through the Word of God. We need the reproof. That's what he's saying. Hey, we need reproof. We need conviction. But notice, secondly, he says rebuke. We need rebuke through the Word of God. What is rebuke? This warning that is being given. This word rebuke, it's a strong word. It is a severe rebuke and warning that there could be impending judgment if it's not changed what we're doing. So he says reprove, that's conviction, but then he also says there's warning here. There's a warning here. What that warning is saying, hey, as the preaching of the word of God is being proclaimed, as it's being brought forth, he's saying, hey, this is what God said. And there is a warning here, just as I said before, look, if somebody says, well, I choose to reject Jesus Christ as the only way, I think that I can get saved by being a good person, or I think I can be saved by being a church member or getting baptized or keeping the commandment or something like that, then you have made a choice to reject Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, you have to understand, there is a warning with that. You know what the warning is? You reject Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You see, the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you to help you to realize that you're a sinner. But the warning is, friend, if you reject Jesus Christ, there is a judgment. Can I say this warning is not just for those who are not saved, but this warning is even for Christians. Friend, if we know what the Word of God says, we hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we come and we sit week after week after week after week, month after month, year after year, and we hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we don't change and under conviction, the Holy Spirit's convicting us, and we don't do anything about it. He says, hey, you better understand, there comes a warning with that. If we're not going to be obedient to what God says, he says he's going to bring chastisement. There's chastisement that is going to come if we refuse to obey what God has said. You see, there's conviction through the preaching of the Word of God. There's warning through the preaching of the Word of God. May I say, friend, this is why it's so important that we preach the Word. We preach the Word, not man's opinions, not man's ideas, not denominations, but we preach the Word. Look, if you go to a church and they don't open up the Word of God and preach the Word of God and it's not found in the Word of God, friend, can I tell you something? You might want to find a different place. Preach the Word, he says. Preach the Word. Why? Because if we really want to be convicted, we need the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God to convict us. Can I tell you something? Just, you know, you can make it and you're going to be all right and just have a positive attitude. There's no warning there. There's no warning. There's no conviction there. It's just, you're good. You can make it. Just keep it up. No, friend, that's not what he said. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. There ought to be conviction. There ought to be a warning. But notice the third thing he says as well. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There ought to be an encouragement. Encouragement. Now, you think, yeah, the preacher needs to encourage us. How many of you would say you'd like to be encouraged? How many of you say, I'd like to be encouraged this morning? I'd like to be encouraged. Come on, raise your hand. She says, I'd like to be encouraged this morning. Boy, did I just set you up. You see, we have this idea that the word exhort or encourage here means that we just need to be lifted up, right? We just have this idea that encourage, well, I just need somebody to come alongside me and say, boy, you're just doing a great job. You're just so awesome. I'm so proud of you. You know, you just keep going. You know, you're just doing wonderful. Well, that is a type of encouragement. But that's not the word that's used here. You say, what? What did I just raise my hand to? Well, I'm glad you raised your hand because you said it. You need encouragement. You see, the word in exhort here has the idea of actually taking someone aside and appealing or pleading to them. Now, why would this need to be done? As the Word of God is being preached, why would it be necessary? Set your Bible aside there. Come on up here. Hey, you sit on the front row, you get picked, okay? Why would it be necessary for the pastor to take someone aside and appeal to them and plead to them. Understand why? Because they're not allowing the convicting of the Holy Spirit to work in their life. They have become hard to the things of God. They're not concerned about the warning. Even though they sit and they listen. You've heard every word I've said this morning, haven't you? Yeah. They sit and they listen, but it doesn't change anything in the heart. There's no desire to change. And so what he's saying, hey, along with preaching of the Word of God, yes, there's the proclamation, but one other thing that God gives the pastor the responsibility to do is to exhort, and that is not to just come along and say, boy, you're doing a great job. You're just amazing. I'm so proud of you. You're just so awesome. No, that can be part of it, but it's to come alongside of him and say, brother, you're not listening. I'm not talking to him, okay? See, people are like, oh, did he get in trouble? No, he didn't get in trouble. No, I'm using him as an illustration, okay? I'm using him as if I was talking to you, okay? All right. You're not listening, brother. You know, the Holy Spirit's been working in your heart. I can tell. And you know what the warning is, but you're not following God. You're not being obedient in this. Brother, I'm here. I'm trying to help you. I'm pleading with you. You need to follow God in this. You need to surrender to God. You need to stop being so proud, and you need to humble yourself to God. You see, that's the exhorting that he's speaking of. Thank you, brother. He's a good kid, by the way. Can I tell you, here's the problem, though. One of the hardest jobs a pastor has is to exhort. One of the hardest jobs a pastor has is to take people aside who he knows aren't listening to the preaching of the word and to plead with them to get right. Why? You say, because instead of recognizing that the preacher's trying to help us, we get offended. We say, how dare he come and talk to me that way? We get offended. We think he's out to get us. And what do? We either leave the church, or we have a bad attitude about church, or both. Can I tell you something? I'm just going to be very transparent with you this morning. I never, never enjoy that third part. I don't like it. I don't like to have to do it. And unfortunately, like I said, I'm going to be transparent. I probably have not done this the way I should have. There are some that I probably should have come to and said, hey, brother, sister, whoever you are, you know that's not right. But can I tell you, that's never an enjoyable thing to do. It's never enjoyable. It's one of the hardest things that we have to do as a pastor. Because, of course, we're afraid that the person's going to get mad. They're not going to see that we're trying to help them. And they just turn away. Can I tell you something? That's part of what he says, the charge. He says, I charge thee, I'm giving you this charge, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, can I say there is a right way and a wrong way to do the exhorting? I wish I could say that every pastor does everything that is right. But there's a right way to preach the word. There's a right way to reprove. There's a right way to rebuke. There's a right way to exhort. Notice what he says, with long-suffering and doctrine. It means there needs to be patience and love involved in it. There needs to be doctrine. In other words, it's coming from the Word of God. It's not just opinion. It's not just preference. It's because of what the Word of God says. I remember sitting in a church one time, and when we were missionaries, and we were sitting, we were sitting probably about where Brother Tyler's at right there, and we're sitting there, and the pastor's up there preaching, and there must have been a visitor or someone maybe sitting behind us, and I don't know what the visitor was doing, but the pastor just went off. Went off on the visitor. To the point that he even threatened the visitor, hey, you want to meet me outside? We'll take care of this outside. I thought, can I tell you something? I don't know what the visitor did. Maybe the visitor was doing something they shouldn't have been doing or whatever. I don't know. But I can tell you this, the pastor was wrong. He was wrong. Please understand, the pastor is not a perfect person. And yes, God has given the pastor to lead the church, but can I tell you, the pastor does not have unlimited authority. I don't have unlimited authority. And sometimes we have this idea, well, the pastor just thinks he's the authority. So, you know, if he comes to me, you know, who does he think he is to come to me and tell me where I'm doing wrong, whatever. Look, friend, can I tell you, if a pastor does, and if I have to come to you or something like that, please understand, it's not because I don't like you. It's not because I'm trying to hurt you. It's because I want you to do what's right. To do what's right. And yes, it does need to be done in a right way, with long suffering and in doctrine. But see, again, the herald isn't responsible for the message. The herald is just giving the message that the ruler or the king gave them to give. We're supposed to do it with authority. We're supposed to do it with boldness. Why? Because we're giving the message of God. We're giving the message of Jesus Christ. But how are those that are listening going to receive it? Are we going to receive it and realize, hey, the Holy Spirit's convicting me. I need to do something about this. Do we see that there's a warning? If I don't do something about this, then there could be something that happens down the road that God's going to do to try to get my attention and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to get you to do. You better wake up and do it. Is it going to take that exhorting? A pastor coming alongside and say, hey, you know this isn't right. You know what the Bible says. You really need to do this. What is our attitude toward the preaching of the Word? What is the attitude toward the preaching of the Word? Because if he's preaching the Word, and we know it's from the Word of God, and we see the message is there to bring conviction and to warn and encourage, then friend, can I ask, why aren't we listening? Why aren't we listening to what God has for us? Why are we getting upset at the messenger when we know the message is actually from what God has said? And so, yes, God, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's talking to him as a preacher, and he's saying, hey, Timothy, your responsibility is you got to preach the Word. You know what sometimes that means? Sometimes that might mean people get mad. And sometimes that means people might get upset. And sometimes it's not always popular to preach the Word. Understand, in our country, in our society today, it's not getting popular to preach the Word of God. Now, religion is getting popular, but not the Word of God. The Word of God's not popular. When you stand up for truth and you stand up for what the Bible says, it's not popular. So what do? We keep preaching the Word of God. We keep preaching. We're not purposefully trying to hurt people. No, we're trying to help them to see what God has said is true. To help that conviction, to help them to see that they need to be saved, or for a Christian to realize there's errors of their life they need to work on to change. Why? Because if not, there's a warning that takes place. Hey, it could be something that's going to happen. You're responsible to God for this. Are we going to listen? May I say, that's one of the reasons why you ought to pray for your preacher, that he will continue to preach the Word. To preach the Word. That he will preach with conviction and with warning and be even able to encourage and exhort. Why? Because we understand that He's just the messenger. He's just the herald that God is trying to use to help us to be the person that God wants to be in our life. How will we respond to that? How do we respond to the message? Do we just turn away from it? No, that's not for me. No, that's for somebody else. Well, friend, if you're lost and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he says there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, period. And for a Christian, he says, hey, I'm trying to make you to be what I want you to be. I'm trying to help you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that conviction is for. Do you understand? That conviction is to try to help us to become more like Jesus. You really ought to be worried when there is no conviction, because that means we've gotten so hard that we're not hearing or we're not listening to what God says in our life. And so we need to be willing to not only be convicted, but act upon it. Listen to what God says as that message is preached from the Word. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, the preacher has a responsibility that you've given to him to preach the word, just as Paul tells Timothy. Father, I pray you to help me as a preacher to preach your word. Lord, help each of us as Christians to be in season and out of season, to be ready at any moment to share Jesus Christ with others. Lord, maybe there were some this morning that when we were talking about that, there was conviction there, because they haven't been sharing Christ with others. Lord, I don't know what it is that you convict people about in their hearts. I cannot see their hearts. But Lord, I pray that as the conviction is there through the preaching of your word, that we would respond, that we would be obedient to what you have for us, to understand that you're trying to help us to become more like Jesus Christ, and to recognize and to remember that one day we will stand before Jesus Christ. We're responsible for what we do with the message that we hear. Father, would you help us in this? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about, I wonder this morning, would there be somebody here today? You say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I died where I would go. You know, I thought maybe being religious would help me get to heaven. I thought maybe being a good person would help me get to heaven. But Pastor, I'm just not sure if I'm saved. And I would like to know from the Word of God how I could be saved. Is there somebody like that this morning? You just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. You say, Pastor, I'd like to know how I could be saved. From God's Word, how could I be saved? Anyone like that this morning? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Pastor, I'd like to know how I could be saved. And Christian, can I ask you, Are we feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life? When we do, what do we do with it? Do we respond to it? Or do we get mad about it? If we're under conviction, God's trying to help us to change something in our life that needs to be changed. If we're not feeling that conviction, friend, could I ask maybe why? Have you become so hard to the things of God that you don't even feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore? You don't feel the conviction of the Word of God anymore? Friend, can I tell you, if that's you tonight, this morning, all you have to do is come before God and say, God, would you break my heart? It's become too cold to the things of God. I don't feel that conviction anymore. And so, God, I need you to break my heart, because I need that convicting so that I can allow you to make me to be what you want me to be. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano is just going to begin playing softly. Friend, maybe there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Will you be obedient to what he has for you? You can come this morning, you can come to the altar, you can pray, or you're right there in your seat. What are you going to do with the message? I'm not talking about the message that I preach. I'm talking about the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to allow it to convict you and to make the right decisions and change and be what Christ wants you to be? Are you you going to stay so hard to the things of God that when the pastor has to come along and try to exhort and try to say, hey, brother, sister, this is not right, you're going to get mad and upset? Here's the charge, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What are we going to do with the message that God's given us from His Word? Will we allow it to change our heart? To change our life? Will we simply become harder and harder and harder to the things of God?